Chapter 12. A Confession. Eleanor was not pleased to see the man who had made her sister so miserable and had indirectly caused her terrible illness. She had no desire to talk to him. Willoughby, however, begged her to listen to what he had to say. He had ridden all the way from London in the rain when he had heard of Marianne's illness. The servant had told him she was now out of danger, and he begged Eleanor to confirm that it was true. Eleanor confirmed that she seemed better, and Willoughby sighed with relief. Then he said he had come to talk to Eleanor about what had happened between himself and Marianne. She was curious, and hoped that there might be some comfort for Marianne in his explanation, so she agreed to listen to it. When he had first met her family at Barton, he admitted, he had only wanted to pass some time with them to relieve the boredom of his visit to his old aunt at Allenham. Almost immediately, he had been charmed by Marianne's beauty and intelligence, and began to find himself much more interested in this young girl than he had intended. At first, he was amused by her obvious infatuation with him. Here Eleanor blushed. But then he started to appreciate what a remarkable and lovely girl she was. Before long, he was captivated by her, and had entered into a charming, innocent flirtation without thinking of the consequences. He had known from the beginning that he could not marry Marianne if he wanted to keep his estate. His debts were large, and he urgently needed money to pay them. But he chose to ignore the facts, and enjoy himself playing the romantic hero, allowing the relationship to develop for his own gratification.
"But you were fond of my sister, Mr. Willoughby, were you not?"
asked Eleanor severely.
"How could I have resisted such attractions, Miss Dashwood? Such tenderness. The happiest hours of my life were those I spent with her. The more time I was with her, the more I felt I wanted to act honourably and ask her to marry me. But a part of me resisted the idea, knowing it would mean the end of all my worldly ambitions."
Willoughby confessed that the same night he had begged Marianne for a lock of her hair, he had decided to ask her to marry him. However, when he got home, something happened which changed his mind and altered the course of both their lives forever. News of his affair with a certain person, here he blushed deeply, and Eleanor realized he was talking about Eliza, Colonel Brandon's adopted daughter, had reached his aunt at Allenham. That virtuous lady was so deeply shocked that she had decided to disinherit him. His only way out, she said, was if he would marry the unfortunate girl, Eliza. He refused. He knew he had no feelings for Eliza, and he was angry at his aunt's treatment of him. And she sent him away from Allenham forever. He came to Barton for one last visit before he fled to London, but of course was too ashamed to tell Marianne the reason for his sudden departure. He declared that he had been heartbroken to leave, but as soon as he was away from Marianne's good influence, he quickly reverted to his extravagant, frivolous lifestyle. The idea of having no money began to terrify him. He convinced himself that their relationship had only been a flirtation, and that she was young enough to forget him quickly. He threw himself into the season of parties and entertainments, and soon found a rich heiress to court who could put an end to his financial worries. He paused for a moment, and Eleanor privately reflected that, if her sister had married such a selfish man with such weak morals and in such difficult financial circumstances, it would surely have ended in misery. To Willoughby, however, she said,
"And that cruel, unpardonable letter that you sent to my sister in London? How do you explain that, Mr. Willoughby?"
Willoughby laughed bitterly.
Yes, the letter. Did you like my wife's work?"
he asked with irony.
"I thought I had forgotten Marianne after many months in London. But when I received her letter, assuring me that I was as dear to her as ever, I realized what a scoundrel I had been, and that I still loved her. But it was too late. My engagement to Miss Grey had just been finalized. All I could do was try to avoid seeing Marianne. I could not bear to face her and see her pain when I confessed I intended to marry another. If you can pity me at all, Miss Dashwood, think how I felt then. With my head and heart full of one woman, I had to pretend to be in love with another. At that ball where we met accidentally, I stood between the two of them, Marianne looking so beautiful and innocent and tragic, and Sophie, my wife-to-be, as jealous and spiteful as a cat."
"But the letter, Mr. Willoughby, what about that?"
interrupted Eleanor.
Yes. When my letters were brought the next morning, Sophie was visiting me. Seeing the feminine handwriting on the envelope of Marianne's letter, she opened it and read it all. She was furious. She demanded that I cut all connections with this rival, and dictated my reply. She said that if I did not do it, she would end our engagement. I relied completely on her money to help me out of my debts. I was forced to give up Marianne, and also all her letters to me, even the precious lock of her hair. I had no choice.
He looked at Eleanor with dark eyes full of self-pity.
You are wrong to say that you had no choice, Willoughby. The initial choice to abandon my sister was entirely yours, and you had already made it. Please do not speak so bitterly of your wife. She has some claim to your respect and affection. To speak badly of her will not console Marianne,
said Eleanor dryly.
Do not feel sorry for my wife. She does not deserve it. She knew I did not love her when she accepted me,
replied Willoughby impatiently.
But have I explained my conduct at least a little? Will you tell your sister what I have said and assure her that, despite my unpardonable behaviour, I have never stopped loving her in my heart?
I understand you better now than I did before, and I will tell Marianne all you have said. I pity your suffering now, but I don't think there is any excuse for the misery you have caused her,
replied Eleanor firmly.
Be assured that my life is quite as miserable now as you could wish, Miss Dashwood. I have got all I deserved in the wife I chose, and my domestic life is all rancour and boredom. Goodbye, Miss Dashwood, and thank you. Will you at least shake hands with me?
Eleanor did so, then asked the servant to accompany him to the door. When he had gone, she sat alone for a while, exhausted by all that had passed, until at last she heard a carriage approaching, and knew that her mother had come. Mrs. Dashwood had feared the worst during her journey, and was relieved to learn that Marianne was better. After she had assured herself that the patient was comfortable, she and Eleanor sat for a long time talking. Her mother told her that Colonel Barton, as worried as he was for Marianne, had confessed his affection for her to her mother. Mrs. Dashwood was surprised, but pleased. Colonel Brandon was a sincere and honourable man, and his quietness and good sense were positive points after her daughter's unhappy experience with the false Willoughby. She hoped that in time Marianne could become fond of their dear friend. For now, she had told him that she would do her best to promote the idea when Marianne recovered. She could not promise more. Marianne was young and strong, and recovered quickly from her illness among her loving family. Eleanor had been very apprehensive about their return to Barton, thinking that her sister would break down with so many things to remind her of Willoughby there. But Marianne showed remarkable self-control, and after a few tears, resolved to put the past behind her. One day, she confessed to Eleanor that the one thing which would really help her to forgive and forget the past was the knowledge that Willoughby had not been completely insincere, that she had not been absolutely deceived by his character. If she could believe he had loved her a little, it would comfort her. So Eleanor told her of Willoughby's visit during her illness. She listened in silence. Afterwards, she hugged her sister and said that she was sorry for her behaviour and the distress that she had caused her family. She had learned a hard lesson, but she hoped she had become wiser after it. A few days later, their servant told them a piece of startling news. Mr. Ferrars was married. He had seen him in town with Miss Steele, who had informed him that her name was now Mrs. Ferrars. Marianne and her mother were not prepared for the violence of Eleanor's reaction. She became deathly pale and could not speak. Of course, she knew that Edward and Lucy were to be married eventually, but she had always secretly hoped something would happen to prevent it. She was devastated. Eleanor spent the rest of the day trying to imagine her life without the hope of Edward in it. As she walked back to the cottage later, she saw a figure on a horse approaching. Could it be Colonel Brandon? Perhaps he could explain the suddenness of Edward's marriage. How had he managed to start the job at Delaford so soon? He had not even graduated yet. As the man approached, however, she saw it was not the Colonel, but Edward himself. With a great effort, Eleanor politely asked where Mrs. Ferrars was. Edward, puzzled, replied that his mother was in London, and told her that he had come with some news. Lucy Steele had married his brother, Robert. By that same evening, Edward was the happiest man in the country. He had been saved from marriage to Lucy without hurting anyone's feelings, and now he had won the bride that he really wanted, Eleanor. He had talked frankly to her about his unhappy engagement to Lucy, and how much he had regretted it, and she was satisfied that his love for herself was something much stronger and more mature. The subject which intrigued them all at the cottage that night was how the strange union between Lucy and Robert Ferrars had come about. Edward could only suppose that Lucy's flattery had somehow found its match in Robert's love of being flattered. He had had no idea that they had been meeting or corresponding, but he was too relieved to think much about Luce's deception of himself in the affair. As for Mrs. Ferrars, everyone felt that she deserved the shock which Robert's disobedience, coming so soon after the scandal with Edward, had caused her. Eleanor and Edward were married the next year and moved to the parsonage at Delaford. Her mother and sisters often visited her cosy new home, and soon Mrs. Dashwood and Eleanor were pleased to observe a growing attachment between Marianne and Colonel Brandon. So Marianne, having expected to live the rest of her life without ever falling in love again, soon found herself the wife of the Colonel and the lady of the manor. Not being a girl who could love by halves, she became as devoted to her husband as she had once been to Willoughby. Her family were delighted to see how his influence on her calmed and steadied her, while hers on him cheered his spirit and helped him to forget the ghosts of his past. Willoughby continued to live with his shrewish wife, but found some consolation for his unhappy marriage in hunting and riding. He never forgot Marianne. Hearing of her marriage to Colonel Brandon was one of the hardest things he ever had to face in his selfish life, and always secretly considered her his ideal of young womanhood. Mrs. Ferrars eventually forgave Edward and accepted Eleanor as her daughter-in-law with as much grace as she could. Lucy also managed to procure a pardon for herself and Robert by the simple strategy of continuing humbly to beg for it. Eleanor and Edward lived the rest of their lives in happy affection, near their dear friends and relations, the Brandons, and felt there was no luckier couple in all of the country than themselves.